The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
John Lance along with Dell for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, and it is going to be Rockets heavy. Because they were heavy last night, man. They were slow-footed. They were out everything last night. Outshot, out. We weren't out rebounded, but they were just not. They didn't get to the loose ball. Nothing about last night was good. It was an ass kicking. The Golden State Warriors move on. The Rockets don't become the 14th ever team to come back from 3-1 down. All right, let's start with Jaylen. He is a hot topic of conversation. Right now in the city of Houston, still very young. He said, no excuses about me being young and my first playoff experience. He got taken out of this series. Except for one game, he just was bad. He wasn't a guy that you can win with. What now? I saw you had a Jaylen tweet last night.
Mm-hmm.
This offseason, do they just say, okay, that's it. We've had enough. We're going in a different direction.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to say it like we've had enough of Jaylen, because I think he's gotten better over time, and you know he is accountable, and his defense has gotten better. I think it's really just a case of the Rockets realize, look, we've got an opportunity here, and we just kind of know what we have in Jaylen. You know, it's probably not going to be good enough. Like, he's not wired the way we need him to be wired. Your leading scorer cannot be that mentally, you know. Cannot be that mentally unstrong. I hate to say weak, but cannot be that flighty against one team. It was terrible. 7, 8, 8, 9, 11, 12, and 38. I mean, absolutely atrocious. And it's been that way all year long for him against Golden State.
Well, the 38 was the aberration. He doesn't do 38. Yeah.
I'm telling you, all the points he scored. He's been bad against Golden State. He played 12 games. He was bad in 10 of them. Yeah. So against Golden State this year, I just think the Rockets are going to look at Jaylen Green and say, you know, we like him. He's a nice player and all that, but there's something missing. Like, he's not. They've got to get so much better in the half court. So there's a lot of stuff to talk about. But the first thing you have to talk about is, can you ride with Jaylen Green? Like, what does it look like moving forward? Who do you count on, and who are your best players moving forward? And you start with Amen Green and Alperen Şengün, and then you move from there.
Amen Green.
I mean, Amen Thompson, Alperen Şengün, and then, you know, even though Amen can't shoot, like,
no.
you're counting on a guy who can't shoot to be your top two player.
Amen's got a lot of work to do with that shot. If he gets a shot, you know, his mid-range is okay. I don't know that we want to see him taking threes, three after three after three, but you know he's got a lot of offensive work. We'll hear from Elpie. He says he's got a lot of offensive work. What about Ime? What about Ime and their offense? What about, you know, I know that we know all about how, you know, defensive, how the intensity, and even Steph last night said this is probably the toughest defense I've ever faced. Mm-hmm. And that's saying something. All the games and all the big games that Steph Curry has played in, that this was as tough as it gets. But what about them offensively? You know, we saw. I don't know what the hell with Fred now. I have no idea because he was the only one, about the only one that really showed up in this series. He was unbelievable. But he just, I don't know, he had an out-of-body. Steph rubbed off on him, or he woke up with some kind of Steph magic dust on him, or something happened, because that's not the Fred that we've seen for the last 2 years. Holy crap. But that's why they got him. I mean, yeah. He was great in Toronto in the postseason, and he was great
here. It'll be good enough to get him an extension, and everyone will regret the extension by the middle of next year. But he saved your season.
He really did.
In game five and game six, he saved your season. That's just the truth. But I think people are going to, it can't go more than a two-year deal. Oh, yeah, they're going to give him an extension. They're not going to pick up. They could pick up the one-year deal. I mean, frankly, picking it up and using it as a trade chip would be an option. But I don't think anyone's dying to get their hands on a $45 million Fred VanVleet, other than saying it's a contract that's going to expire after a year. So I don't know how it's going to work. The Rockets have plenty of trade pieces. They have plenty of maneuverability. But Fred played great in 5-6 and, had his moments in 7. He had a really terrible possession at a critical time where he literally just dribbled the ball. If Fred has the ball in his hands more than 6 seconds, he's for sure going to just take it all the way down to the end and take the shot. Like, the ball gets really sticky with Fred sometime. And he took that one where he had the ball in his hands about 23 of the 24 seconds and then fired up a shot 30 feet in the air.
I'm having a hard time criticizing Fred today because there's so much.
No. That's fine. Yeah. What I'm telling you is you're going to be criticizing Fred next year come February the Rockets.
We criticize Fred all year, but listen, Ime loves him.
Yeah, no, he's coming back.
There's a reason for it. He loves how he runs the offense. I'm not sure it's not a great offense. They have got to add that guy. They have got to add a guy that can fill it up.
You need somebody who is efficient offensively, who knows how to, like, who has
that's
a go-to kind of game.
That's
like
a star. I mean, that's a guy. If you're efficient offense, or you're really really good offensively, you are a star in this league.
Star, superstar. I mean, I know who the targets are going to be. It'll be Giannis. It'll be Booker. It'll be. Kevin Durant. I mean, those would be the three that they should be looking at, and I understand that. And the half court, like, you ask about the offense for Ime Udoka. I don't know that Ime's quote-unquote offense is a problem. I think the people he has running it, you get into this problem with heavily defensive-oriented basketball coaches. Is it the same players that you want primarily on defense? Yeah. It's hard to find good two-way players.
Right.
It's hard to be great on both sides. It's
how would it
really
be
hard.
If Cam Whitmore actually played defense? How would that be?
He's played his last game, so I don't care.
If James Harden played defense, if Luka played defense, you just don't find that.
No.
You don't find a guy like Michael.
Alex English didn't. For years and years, the best scorers don't play defense.
Right. Except the super, super
Michael
elite.
Jordan. LeBron became a much better defender. You have to be. And Steph gives effort. Hey, Steph had some good reps yesterday, I thought, defensively. He gives effort. He's just, he's not the biggest guy, but he's lifted weights. He's gotten bigger during his time. You just have to put effort in. You don't have to be a great on-ball defender, but if you try hard, I think Ime, you definitely can work around having some limitations if you're a hard worker. I think Jalen Green has shown that, but he's more athletically inclined. Like, he's gotten better, but I don't know how you can look at this Rockets team and say, well, when the game goes to half court, they still got to have a really good chance. They don't have a really good chance when it goes to half court. They rely on streaky shooting, and they rely on getting to the rim and getting baskets. And when the refs decided it was going to be a, let them play game, which is typically fine, you could see, they weren't going to call anything by the rim. So you got to finish stronger. You can't be soft around the rim. And the Rockets couldn't finish anything
Rockets,
around the rim.
Advantage Rockets in that.
It should
I loved that they just let them play. I thought last night there were fewer Alpies, both hands in the air and every single time. He was doing that in the middle of the series. I think he slowed down on that a little bit.
But was that
a physical series? You beg for that as opposed to ticky-tack fouls. And up until last night, it was advantage Rockets. I don't know. They were out physical all the time with the
Everything with the arms. Run back on defense. He got beat back on defense by Pajemski. I mean, you got beat by Pajemski and, more importantly, Buddy Hield. Did you look at the rest of the team? They shot 9 of 32 from the three-point line, the rest of the team. They scored 3 points off the bench, John. They got 3 points off the bench and shot 9 of 32 from the three-point line.
Buddy
Hield beat you.
Buddy Hield beat you. But Buddy Hield, let's not forget, Buddy Hield was he just came out. I mean, that was a Buddy Hield I thought was going to be an NBA player. Not the one that
we've maybe
seen.
Not a 9 of 11.
Not
from
that.
Three, but,
not that.
But yeah, but he's older. But, yeah, he was a non-factor in 5 and 6. Scored, what, 6 points total?
He came out. Oh, my goodness. Buddy Hield again is open. Again is open.
Yeah,
again is open.
You know, for what they did against Steph, and they did an incredible job. Like, it was watching them communicate and switch off at the top. And then Stan Van Gundy pointed out they were going to blitz anything over the top with the big. They blitz it, meaning – you know, Alperin or Steven Adams was gonna step over the top, and they were gonna force Steph high, and then anything with anybody else, they were switching it with everyone else. But what happened was, and we saw this happen in Game 6, even though the Rockets ended up blowing out the Golden State Warriors. Well, Golden State got a lot of open looks from three, a lot, and I think the Rockets really struggled at times to find shooters for Golden State. And yesterday they had trouble with Buddy Hield, and it bit him in the ass because he helped create a momentum that, in your own, you know, suspect play, helped create a momentum that they just couldn't get out from under. But the Rockets led once in the game. Never led
Golden
once.
Golden State took 25 more threes than the Rockets did. 25 more threes. Rockets just 6 of 18. They couldn't even get looks. You know what? We got to give the Warriors a little bit of credit. Draymond, an a-hole move again last night. But, boy, I want to tell you, we talk about the Rockets' defense all the time. Golden State can D you up now.
Yeah.
Golden State was up. It was hard to get anything off.
They challenged
Listen, they
everything.
Were going down low, and Alpe couldn't get anything going down. They couldn't get anything outside. I mean, they were closing out on the three-point line, and yet you still couldn't get inside. You couldn't get the ball to Steven Adams. You couldn't. I mean, I don't think we're giving Golden State enough credit for what they did.
They deserve a lot of credit. They deserve a lot of credit. I mean, they challenged everything at the rim. They challenged. I just think the Rockets have to be stronger in the paint, more physical, finish when they have a chance at and-ones and stuff like that. But I give Golden State a lot of credit, man. The Rockets are a much more talented team. But Golden State, you know, their veterans played better when it mattered most in this Game 7. And they did defend. They do defend. Like, they play hard. They play hard. And eventually, you know, there's just so much to – Alperin just really had a dookie game.
When
he's not in a flow, he can really be – he can really be very disjointed. His game gets disjointed. There were too many guys playing like that for the Rockets to win yesterday.
Well, you were saying, and we've got sound from here. Adele, let's hear from Alpe. You were saying it for most of the year, and I was like, you're being a little bit hard on him. You know, he's offensively. You're like, no, he's not as good this year offensively. He's just not. The numbers all show it, but. You know, he took a huge step defensively because he was really, really good defensively. And then, you know, he distributes. He's okay. Only he and Jokic this playoffs, they're the only ones that lead their team in points, assists, steals, rebounds. They're the only ones in the NBA. Yay, baby Jokic, way to go. No. I mean, you're not going to win anything if he's leading you and all that stuff.
No, he still needs work. Like, he needs work in the low paint.
He didn't shoot worth a damn for the most part in this series. I mean, so many chippies he missed. It was unbelievable.
The bunnies were awful. The seven-footers, missing free throws, missing those short ones. Right now his game, he has pieces. It's just not – he's got to put everything together for a more consistent, flowing – post game, when he's playing in, when he's not faking, once he goes to pump fakes and he tries to fake one way, fake the other way, it really bogged down this year. And I think a lot of people realize, don't jump with the pump fakes, just stay on the ground and you can call, you know, and he'll start to force some of the shots. He's obviously very talented and he obviously If you're a smaller guy, he's much better at you. I just thought Draymond did a really good job of defending him because he made him very uncomfortable.
Oh, man. Well, he's just so physical. Here is, I mean, you got to give Alpi a little bit of credit. He is self-aware.
I think I improved my defensive way this season. But, you know, I got to work a lot more in my offense, I think. And I didn't have great year with my offense, you know. I was even better last year, I would say.
Thank you.
I just kind of was, you know, struggling with offense. But I'm just going to focus on that and on my body, on my touch, everything, you know. And I'm going to long summer is waiting for me, so I have a lot to do.
Yeah, I don't know why I got so much pushback. And I'm not like people on the internet, John. Like anytime I thought it was pretty obvious that he wasn't as good offensively. I know the points were there and all that stuff, but it didn't flow like it did the year before. It looked like he was in his head thinking too much, and I'm glad he could recognize it. I'll give the Rockets a lot of credit under Ime. The accountability is high. Yep. Jalen's accountability after the game, before the game, in the middle of the season, Alperen's accountability, like that's the step. That's what gives me hope, is that these guys know they're not lying to themselves. They know, and they've created a accountability. We're going to be pissed off today. We'll be upset. But the reality is the Rockets have made huge strides in a very short period of time.
Yeah, no question. I mean, when you're the two seed, you don't play Golden State. You don't play Jimmy Butler and Steph Curry. I mean, you just don't. And they got, you know, in a way, just, that's the way it fell. And that's what their lot in life was. They did fight hard. They gave us a lot of great moments. Getting to Game 7 after being down 3-1, really, really cool. A big popcorn fart last night. There's a lot to look forward to with this basketball team. Let's break it. 713-780-3776 is the number if you want to get in here. We got What Did You Learn This Weekend? Coming up in one sentence, coming up in less than a half hour here. So let's go. John Daspit is what we're talking about right now.
Yeah, John Daspit is going to fight for you, whether it's a game one or a game seven. He's going to show up, and he is going to give you his best effort. There are no bad games with John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. They show up, and they show up in a big way. They're ready to roll, and they're ready to battle, and battle they do. They will overturn every stone to make sure every medical issue is covered. When you're badly injured, workplace, out in a, could be a slip and fall out on the water, a refinery blast, an accident on the freeway, you get T-boned with one of these idiots who run through red lights whenever they feel like it because they got paper plates on. You know what? You've got to, it really doesn't matter. You need someone like John Daspit on your side, and here's why. You may worry about going to the hot doctor. Maybe you just don't like, I just don't go there. You need to go there. You need to find out exactly what's going on, because if you are injured and it ends up having an impact on your life, once you get the settlement check from the insurance company, you're done. That's it. You're responsible for everything else beyond that. And so you want to make sure that you know exactly what's going on with the injuries that you have, and that you get them corrected and fixed. You get the physical therapy you need. You get paid for the time that you miss from work. That was not your fault. You may not even know that you have that coming to you, but you do. And you've got pain and suffering coming to you as well. So John Daspit will fight for you. He will passionately pursue justice for the injured, and he will win at an incredibly high rate. Most of the time, it never even has to go to a court, because the other side eventually gives in and says, okay, we understand. Here's your check, Mr. Daspit. And John gets you paid and gets you taken care of. It's John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW.
You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I'm sure you all got thoughts. What are your thoughts on the Rockets last night and the season? What are your thoughts on what they have to do this offseason? You're more than welcome to get in. 713-780-3776. We had a Lance McCullers sighting.
Oh,
okay.
LMC.
87 nice. Pitches for yeah. 3 2/3.
That's, I mean, that was, it's kind of what he does. He had 4 strikeouts, 3 walks. Victorious return in game one. No, gave up no runs. Like, I was happy with what he did. I'm not expecting a whole lot, truth be told. I don't think he's going to be real efficient. I think he's going to have to work. This is kind of what you're going to get. I think more than likely he ends up being a, you know, a middle reliever would really be probably what you'd like for him. But you can't on this team. You just don't have – your pitchers are hurt, so he'll have to keep throwing his 3 2/3. But I'm sure he'll take it.
87. That was a lot more than I thought he'd go.
Did you – Dell and I asked the question. No, I asked it with you. We were talking about the number, and Dell said he had – didn't you say, John, he had gone in the 80s in his last minor league appearance? One of y'all did.
71.
Oh, in his last minor league appearance. Okay.
Yeah, 71 pitches.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't think that they would bring that he would throw that many. You know, and it was, you know, a lot of just scuffling. He was just scuffling. 4 strikeouts, 3 walks, hit a guy. You know, they didn't get any help defensively with DeCenzo dropping the ball. That's just the White Sox. It's just
lost
crazy
2 of 3 to a team going 8-23 going into the series. And you lost 2 of 3.
And you know, I just saw a stat. You know, the Padres are 7 games better than they were last year. Going into yesterday's games, the Padres were 7 games better than they were last year. You know how many games? Where are the Astros compared to last year?
About the same, 17-16, I don't know. I mean,
five games better than last year.
Okay. Because it was kind of Panic City.
There was a lot of panic with this
Kikuchi
team last year.
Kikuchi saved your whole season.
Who saved it?
Kikuchi, when they rented him for like 30 days.
Kikuchi. Remember the Kikuchi?
I remember him. I don't know if he still plays, but I remember him.
Yeah, he plays baseball.
We're in the rental business.
No one knows. It's impossible to tell where he plays, but.
Myers almost had what they call the El Chingon, where you have almost a cycle and you have an error. You had 7 RBIs.
Had 2 homers, a triple, and a double.
I know. An error, it's 7 RBIs.
Yeah.
The craziest stat line I've ever seen in my life. Jake Myers?
Jake Myers. It's one of the greatest offensive games in Astros history.
Jake's damn near 300 again. You've got Jeremy Pena is out hitting Altuve by about 15 points now, at least with batting average. Altuve's really – it's been a prolonged little funk Altuve's been in now. He wanted out of the one to get to the two. He wanted – you know, he kind of felt like he was hurting the team in the one hole. He ain't doing a whole lot more in a two hole. Yainer Diaz has made a nice little return to – I guess, factoring into some games, which has been good, but – you know, I'm just kind of waiting through things. I mean, now that basketball's over, you start really focusing on Astros. It's a long season, but I'm just kind of waiting for Yordan to become Yordan. I don't know that this team is where they need to be yet, but they're still hanging in 17-16. Like, it doesn't bother me. They're not playing great baseball, and they're in the middle of everything. So that's fine. We'll see what happens over the next 10 to 15.
No. With the return of Lance McCullers, you got to figure out. And you got Eric Geddy that'll be coming back. Allegedly, Christian Javier. We'll see. But you got a lot of. There's a lot that that has to be played out this season. Christian Walker is starting to hit a little bit. Isak is meh. I mean, Altuve is meh. The offense is just meh. The offense is just. You can't count on them day to day. They'll put up a 9 spot and then just get shut out or 1 run the next 2 games. Yordan isn't Yordan yet. Christian Walker isn't himself. Yiner's just suddenly starting to. Altuve's not himself after a good start.
Fromber's not himself.
I'll tell you, DeCenzo catch the ball, but goodness gracious, that guy got to be in the lineup. DeCenzo is crushing it. You almost have to. And Jake Myers every. If there was a single up the middle yesterday. You're like, okay, come. It was hard hit. Let's go. He just throws it in the second base because he has zero chance to throw anybody out ever in center field. It just is. It's most. I swear I grew up that center fielders had to have to be able to throw. I swear that's the way I grew up. I don't understand how you can have your weakest arm in center field.
No, we have really. The Astros have really. They have really backed off of the defensive standards, including arm strength in the outfield. That is not a thing for them right now.
That's not a priority at all.
Low priority.
Yeah, at all. And, you know, and Cam Smith is a work in progress. So, here we go. They're just, it's what they do in April and May. They just do. When we'll get there later. Just three games back. They're 17-16, which is much better than where they were last year. Is this a better team than last year? I don't know that.
No, I don't think so.
I don't know.
It's
a long way to go, and we'll find out a lot more. But, boy, you just talk about blasé.
Who do you have that's a – I mean, you had Kyle – guys, Kyle Tucker was putting up an MVP-caliber season. He was on he had for half a season, he was on pace for over 50 home runs. He had a good – well, not half a season, but he had – you know, when he had pitched, he was into – yeah, he was at the, 60 game mark, and he was – I mean, it was a pretty decent amount of time. He is having a great year. Well, you don't have anything remotely like that this year. Remotely do you have a killer right now on offense. Your best offensive weapon right now?
Jeremy Pena might be your best.
Man, I mean, that's why 17-16 is a minor miracle.
Yeah. Yep. Well, the pitching, and you still lost Eric. I can't wait till Eric Eddie gets back. I mean, I'm telling you, that Hunter Brown, Eric Eddie combination, and if Lance McCullers can actually pitch for a couple of years and Christian Javier, actually, after the big contract, he actually can pitch a little bit. You're still going to be okay.
It's crazy. if the arm health, but we already see Garcia. I noticed you didn't mention him. You're kind of writing him off, and I feel like you almost have to now.
Well, he's gone now. He's gone now.
Well, yeah. He's not gone, but.
Yeah, he's gone. Yeah, they said that's all, Luis Garcia.
And what did they do to him?
I don't think they executed him. But
okay, where is he?
They let him go.
Luis Garcia, the pitcher?
The pitcher.
When did this happen? During the draft?
This happened, I don't know. This happened a while ago. Luis Garcia, see ya. We're done. Bye.
They designated him for assignment?
Yeah. They just said bye. That's all.
I don't think. Are you right?
They put him on the 60 day.
Yeah. They didn't say bye. They didn't cut him. He's just on 60 day. I was going to say, he did not get designated. Like, what? When did this happen? They did not say bye. They did not get rid of him. He's on 60 day because he had more.
They said goodbye.
No, he has more inflammation in his elbow. More, it showed. I mean, no, he's not bye, but he is.
No, they did release somebody. I thought, okay, it's not Luis Garcia. I could have swore they released him, but okay. And when was the last time he actually?
He's not coming back. That's why.
I was thinking of Urquidy.
Okay.
Urquidy.
So Christian. Oh yeah. Another arm guy.
Yeah.
Urquidy, arm guy. Lance McCullers missed 2 years. Arm guy. Garcia missing 2 years. Arm guy. I don't have a whole lot of. Apparently, Tommy John takes way longer for the Astros than everyone else. So I don't have a lot of confidence that Christian Javier comes back as Christian Javier. Sorry. I just don't. Seems like a death sentence to your career as soon as you get this with the Astros. I'd like to know who the successful – I guess the one guy you can point to, obviously, is Justin Verlander, who was already a borderline generational pitcher, you know, before the injury. These guys don't have that kind of pedigree and background. So, 17-16, I'll take it. But to the rest of the conversation, like, they got a long way to go. They don't look like a team that can win anything right now. And yet, here they are. So, I give them a chance. Because their best player hasn't shown up all year long. They've got an ace in the pitching staff. Fromber can pitch way, way better. So it can get better. They're 17-16, and they definitely can play much better. So I'm willing to hang on. Now, Scott's got to go. We're at the point now where Taylor Scott just can't be an Astro.
Taylor Scott was a godsend last year. And a month into this season, you can't even throw him.
He's got a whip in almost 1.6. Like, he's terrible on a consistent basis.
Well,
it's
a typical last year outlier. Pitched the most innings by like 5 times that he ever pitched in his life, and he comes back and he sucks. It's what happens every single time. Their outlier year. That's when the Astros give their most money to relievers, if you want to know the truth. Their outlier year. We got a break still ahead in less than 15. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? I learned something about myself this weekend that I will share with you next, or coming up. And what did you learn this weekend? But you guys got to pick yours. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? 713-780-3776. That's in about 12 to 15 minutes right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What did I learn about testosterone since I started taking it? Well, I've been testosterone replacement therapy for years now. I mean, a decade, more, over a decade now. And it's important that you make sure that your testosterone, I was sluggish. I went to my doctor and he said, well, we did some blood tests and man, did you know how low your testosterone is? Well, you don't have to go. If you're sluggish and not feeling yourself, then you know what? You go to Game Day Men's Health, absolutely free. You get a consultation. They take your blood. They will take blood. They will tell you whether or not you're a candidate, where you are, and they're not going to charge you like the other guys do. They've got a lab right there, which is awesome. And they've got professionals who will get you in that testosterone treatment and the peptides to get you where you want to go. What do you want to do? Are you not as good as you used to be? Of course you're not. You're getting older. It's what happens. It's natural. Testosterone replacement is important for you to stay on top of your game, no matter what it is that you're looking to do. GameDayMensHealth.com is the place for me. I hope it is for you. GameDayMensHealth.com.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So I thought, okay, we know what we got. I like what we got in Amon. He's got to get better offensively. Yeah. Amon met the media after the game last night. And, you know, I liked a lot of their honesty. Jalen was like, I got to be better. I was not good. I can't be shut down the way that I was. Alpi was the same. Alpi said, you know, I got to get better offensively. I really did like that. We'll hear from Fred, too, in a little bit. I don't know what you do with Fred if you want to know the truth. But I thought Amon was pretty – I thought he was dead on with this when asked about, you know, the season and the season ending, what the positives to take away.
I'm proud of the team. You know, we didn't even make playoffs last year. This year we were the 2 seed going against a bunch of Hall of Famers and came close. But, I mean, next year I feel like we'll have that experience, you know, coming into the playoffs time. Like, we all have been there at this point. Like, you know what I mean? A lot of our rotation guys, I think we got 3 that even ever been to the playoffs. So, the rest of us are young, so we can just build off that.
And then, yeah. You know, love hearing something like that today, but it's the truth. You're frustrated, but it's the truth. And they played like it. And that's one of the reasons the Golden State Warriors were, it was what I worried about started this series is Rockets are the better team. And I don't think there's any doubt when you watch, objectively speaking, the Rockets beat the brakes off the Warriors in 3 of these games, outplayed them in 2 of those other games, and then were outplayed in game 1. After the first quarter, they were pretty badly outplayed. And then, of course, they were demolished yesterday for all intents and purposes. I mean, you had one little run in the third quarter, and then you had cut it down to 3. And then by the end of the quarter, you look up and they won the quarter 23-19. Like, they only won it by 4 by the end because Buddy Hield kept getting, and Steph started to make. And because Buddy Hield actually didn't do a whole lot in the second half, but Steph started to make. And
yeah, but Buddy Hield in the first half. Holy. And Buddy Hield for the game. Yeah. 12 of 15?
He
9 for, I mean, goodness.
My kid, Sebastian, came running into the room saying that Buddy Hield should be held down and choked unconscious after he shot a 3 with, like, whatever time, about 17 seconds left in the game. He was furious. I mean, the clock was going to, you know, it was going to, but a lot of times players will just take the little turnover and then, you know, the other team won't shoot, won't do anything, and that'll be it. Buddy Hield got another shot off. And so he tied the NBA record with 9 3-pointers in the
good for him.
In the playoffs. So bad for Buddy Hield.
I mean, but good for him. He's at 33 points. He had a Buddy Hield game. And you know, that was the Buddy Hield game. That was a game 7. Mm-hmm. You step up that big. That is good for him.
It's always him. You know, you got beat with Steph Curry rarely being a factor in this. Now, he was a factor in the second half. Make no mistake about it. But the Rockets, if you ask Ime Udoka and the Rockets, here's what Steph's series is going to look like. Would you take that? You ask any of us, I would have said, oh, Rockets are going to win for sure. They may not even – it'll go six at most and probably Rockets 4-1 if you showed me stats, the stat line. Now, you obviously didn't show me Jalen's stat line. Yeah. So I had no idea what Jalen was going to do, which was terrible. Jalen – and people talking about trading Jalen, I was thinking about this today. You know, the idea of trading Jalen, where is his trade value right now? Just right now off the rip, your first thought is,
No, I think it's pretty good, especially with the contract.
You do? It feels like when you try to sell a house where there's been a murder in it and the value has plummeted and you're just like, oh, I got to tell people, I've got to disclose that there was a murder here. And you can't sell it for
regular value.
People
in the league look at him differently than we do because he's
young. Find out.
Because he does have the potential to be
a choker.
He does. And listen, and Draymond even addressed it. I think we got that sound. Draymond addressing, he was like, you know, he's not the first star. He actually called him a star. He's not the a budding star that had a rough first playoff series. He's not. And a lot of people look at him. Mm-hmm. I've asked NBA people about him, and they're like, he's too young. He's too young to judge yet. Being because he's got the talent to be great. He does. You know,
sometimes
you always talk about traits all the time.
Yeah, I know he's got traits, but you have to project. But ultimately, the thing that separates good from great is mentality. Do you think he has mentality? I don't think he has the mentality.
I think he was at
disadvantage
because he had Steven Silas for his first couple of 3 years.
Yeah, but then that's not changing. Then when he dies and in his grave, he will have had Steven Silas for 3 years.
But what did you see a lack of effort from Jalen?
No, and that's the problem is I don't have a problem with the person, John. I don't have a problem with the effort, none of that. I just think fundamentally, based on the team, look, if the team had a great player next to him, you know, if you dealt Alperin for Giannis in some kind of deal. Okay, you know, Jalen doesn't have to carry the load. He can, if he disappears, you can still win games. But right now, you need him to be your best player, potentially. At least one of your two best. And it's just not like, this has been a whole season. It's been three seasons against one team where he somehow can't do anything against the Warriors. And they're not even a great team. So, I don't know. Like, I like Jalen. I think he's gotten a lot better. I just think the mentality, I'm just trying to project what it will take to win a championship, and I don't think he can be one of your two best players. I don't. Now, if Amen takes a huge step up, if Şengün keeps getting better offensively and Jalen doesn't have to play that role and he can take on a sometimes role, that's fine. But you also don't know pecking order late in the games. Like, there's no real pecking order late in the game. Jalen doesn't have there needs to be some go-to moves created. The Rockets have so much potential, but it's like all these ingredients are there, but the cake is not baked. Like, you see everything. You see the little pieces, but they're not interconnected just yet. And yet, they're still pretty good on the court. They finished second in the West. Like, that's something to really be excited about. I just don't think I think you can move on from Jalen and potentially use him in a trade and get something that maybe brings all the ingredients together. That's what I'm saying. That's not against Jalen. I just don't think he can be one of your top two players win a championship. That's just my opinion. I know the Rockets probably think he's one of the greatest that's ever suited up because they get super, super emotionally attached to their players, which is a concern for me. I mean, the James stuff, if you couldn't see, they wanted James back. That is troubling that they wanted him back. And you see what that fraud did again.
Yeah. I mean, it's real.
It's super real. It's on his gravestone now. He can't get away from it. It's too etched in.
Yeah. No. No question. I mean, it was embarrassing again. He is James. Elimination James is real.
It's so real.
713-780-3776. Time to break and get in with, and let's go. 713-780-3776. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? I know what I learned. I learned it about myself. It could be about yourself. It could be about your team. It could be about your wife. It could be about your girl.
About your wife?
You learned something about your wife. Yeah. I don't know. Goodness. What did you learn about her? What did you learn about your boss? What did you learn? What did you, your kids, whatever. You learned something this weekend, and you get one sentence to tell us. 713-780-3776, the number, if you want to get in to tell us. Please, let's go. One of the best segments that we have here during the week, and it's brought to you by Game Day Men's Health. Right now, though, we got a little Underdog Fantasy.
Yeah, you got Underdog Fantasy has something new going on as well. You know, previously we had that, I've told you guys about the playoff extender. That was something that they had going on. Well, right now, Underdog Fantasy is saying, look, they're the best spot that you can go to play your high or your low game. They're the leading place to make all those sports picks. They have millions, have already won billions on there. They got 100,000 five-star reviews. Right now, all you have to do is go play these playoffs, take advantage of what's going on, and you can, you know, beyond the series where the Rockets were just eliminated, go to the next series. You got a good feel for Golden State. Let's face it. You watched them a lot. You know who's up, who's down, and how they play. Use that knowledge in the next series against Minnesota. Go higher, go lower, watch a whole series, and really, you know, bear down on two different series and get a feel for four different teams and all the players on those teams. And you got a great opportunity to pick three, four, five players correctly and win up to 1,000 times your original play. Even when it's much lower, like, let's just say 65 times. I mean, do the math on that. $10 can net you $650? Yes, if you're looking at your stats, all the stats that they offer, and I'm talking to individual stats or points, rebounds, assists in the first half, things like that, and go higher or lower. Use your sports knowledge, and you can win real money and big money. Now, you can bet as little as you can play as little as $1, and you can also get up to $1,000 in bonus cash on your first deposit when you use promo code Lance. That's promo code Lance on your first deposit, and you're going to get up to $1,000, but you have to use promo code Lance. You must be 18 or older in Fresno State. We're Underdog Fantasy. On rates, terms apply. If you feel like you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or go to ncpgambling.org.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, let's go. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? 713-780-3776.
Only one person learned something this weekend on the line. We got one call.
More.
One person learned something this weekend.
No, usually when we get it started, they all say, okay, I learned something.
I learned that Jalen Green and Cam Whitmore have played their last minutes with the Houston Rockets. And I learned that Cam Whitmore's body language could get worse than game five once it got to game six. It could actually get worse.
Okay, that's one sentence. That's more than one sentence. That's more than one sentence. 713-780. Lance does not play this game well. He is just really terrible at this game.
What you learn?
You are the Draymond Green of this game. You continue to flagrantly beat up this little segment. 713-780-3776. I learned this weekend what Mark Andrews must have felt like to come up and drop the ball at the biggest time waiting to get your team to the championship.
One sentence.
That's what I learned.
Here's your sentence.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. That's what I learned. I learned what it was like. 713-780-3776 is the number to hang out with us here. But I was on a bigger stage, the member guest at Highland Punch, than he was.
So. Yeah, that's true.
713-780-3776. Who is it? Ocho? Ocho. 713, let's go. Give me what you learned this weekend in one sentence, everybody. Let's go. 713-780-3776. Ocho, what you learned this weekend?
Yeah, this one is still hard for me to believe considering how long baseball has been around. But I learned that Riley Green of the Detroit Tigers is the first baseball player ever to hit two home runs in the ninth inning.
Huh.
Ever?
Wow. Ever.
Ever. Man,
two
baseball has been around forever.
Well, it ain't easy to hit home runs in the two home runs in the same inning. It's been done. It's been done.
No, that's been done. But that's why I'm surprised.
Yeah, it's been done, but
even
in the ninth inning. Huh. Usually you take the foot off the gas, I guess, if you're batting around, I guess.
No,
but,
you
know what? In baseball,
you don't take foot off.
You don't
gas.
Ever
take.
You never take your.
And it's okay.
Your foot.
You don't have a bad at bat. It's okay to try your hardest at every single at bat.
Right. Unless they bring in the right fielder or something.
No, that's when you got your shot at a home run. What are you supposed to bunt? Taken out? Hell no.
Yeah.
You could get embarrassed. Striking out against a right fielder, that's embarrassing.
Oh, absolutely.
You should be cut if that happens.
All right. This is brought to you by Game Day Men's Health. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? See, that's an interesting one. Ocho, well done. Well, did your homework. 713-780-3776. Dell, have you learned anything? Did you learn anything this weekend?
I learned that people call in once they're prompted several times. Let's go to Tom. Tom, what have you learned?
Morning, gentlemen. I learned that James Harden has lost game sevens for four different franchises.
Yep. Nice.
That's true.
Yeah.
True story. Rockets, Nets, Sixers, and now Clippers. And he's played poorly for all of those.
All of them.
All those teams, he's had a really bad game seven.
Listen, we did not learn that Elimination James is real. It's been real for some time now. Uh-huh. Been real for some time now. But
even people who have fought it in the past were in my timeline saying, nah, when one guy was trying to defend James, and they're like, no. I used to be the same as you.
It's real.
We got to stop.
It's real. Who's next, Al?
Let's move to Woods. Woods, what have you learned?
What's up, fellas? I learned that somebody stole Jalen Green's special game to nail polish, and that's why he can never shake that.
See, I didn't know there was a game seven nail polish. I'd never heard that before. And he just paints it black, doesn't he? There's a different lacquer or something?
I don't know. There's a different sheen, but game two, wherever that nail polish went, disappeared.
Was Elimination Ted Cruz there?
No, there was a rumor. Somebody took an old picture, but
I know.
If he was there, you would have seen a picture.
Probably.
Yes,
but
I don't think we can blame
him on
Ted.
I saw that before the game that he had his ticket.
Jalen was praying that Ted Cruz was there.
Yeah.
Please let Ted be here tonight so I get some heat off of me. Nope, sorry, Jalen.
He's Elimination Ted Cruz is what he is.
Yeah, though. Elimination Ted is not a good thing.
I
learned that I was not only am I not a jinx, I'm the good luck.
Yeah.
Ask game five.
No, that doesn't count. Let's move.
I was there. What do you mean it doesn't count?
Who cares, game five?
It's just a
good
footnote.
Good luck for games five when you're down 3-1. Who cares?
It's a footnote.
Here we go. He did text that to me yesterday.
No.
He did. Let's move on to Peter. Peter, what have you learned?
Morning, gentlemen, and I hate to echo it, but I learned, like Lance did, that Jalen is not him, averaging 13 points a game in the playoffs with a 38-point game.
That's not him.
It's not. He's not him.
He is not him. He is not him. No.
Doesn't appear to be. Now.
Not in his first playoff series.
Can you remember somebody who was bad in their first playoff series who ended up being a really good player? I can't think of anybody. There's nobody that famously started off really poor but became great.
Lamar Jackson?
Well, we're talking basketball.
Oh.
Basketball, you individually can win in front of you.
I'm sure there were a lot of guys.
I'm just asking if you can come up with one. Anthony Edwards was pretty good.
Oh, at the top of my head, I can't remember. But, you know, you got years and years of guys playing.
And this is his fourth year in the league, so it's not like he was a rookie. He's not a rookie.
Yeah, it's a first playoff, though.
Well, I'm sure there's lots of other people there.
I'm pretty sure they weren't a playoff team before this. I'm pretty sure.
No, but I'm saying.
Is there are levels of bad. He wasn't just, he shot poorly.
He was Elimination James bad for six games.
He was bad for six out of the seven games. Won't give him game six. They didn't really need him there. But five out of the seven.
They didn't play him in game six.
Well, yeah,
they took him out.
How about Steven Adams came in with 3 minutes after the game started, and it was Jalen he pulled off the floor.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. But then the double bigs wasn't really working in the first half, so Emay got away in the second half. Steve Kerr made some good adjustments.
Yeah, Steve Kerr probably. Who's next, Del?
Casey, what have you learned?
Yeah, morning, fellas. I learned you shouldn't book a 7:50 tee time that's an hour away and go to Cinco de Mayo party the night before at 2 a.m.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds like you just learned that today.
That sounds like you're this old.
You're learning it right now.
You're this old when you learn this. Yes, yes, that is not a good plan. Let me go to a Cinco de Mayo party till two in the morning, and then play golf at 7:60 at 7:30, an hour away.
That's tough.
What is wrong
with
you,
Casey?
Well,
he learned it. You have to learn it at some point. Let's get Tom on a mobile. What's up, Tom?
Hey, guys. So I learned there's a creep running around town named the Fountain View Flasher. And just because I ride my bird scooter with a trench coat and I show people my dong sometimes, I'm the lead suspect.
No, beat it. Tom on a mobile.
Tom on a mobile.
Too much.
Too far. Too far.
Too much. He keeps going further and further and further.
I know. Tom is not creepy.
No.
And by the way, Tom just brought a sports take to the tennis table. How about that?
What did you learn, Tom on a mobile?
Yeah, Tom on a mobile. I learned that Tom.
It's not a real thing he learned.
He said, just because I fit all the things that make me a flasher doesn't mean I am a flasher. Right? Yeah. Or what did he say? I don't remember.
I don't know.
Something about a flasher with a special name.
He said show people dong.
Yeah, I heard that part.
He said that out loud.
But he started with, there's a flasher out there, and he just happened
the
to...
The Fountain View Flasher.
The Fountain View Flasher.
Yeah. And just because I show... What? Stop.
I wear a trench coat and show my...
Too much Tom on a mobile.
Tom on a mobile. I would say for a Monday, not enough.
Clean it up. Clean it up, Tom on a mobile. Tom on a mobile.
Bring some levity to this sad sack of a show.
I also learned that Scottie Scheffler can't even make a putt to set the record for 32 under... at a golf tournament. Nice
what a
job.
Weak course.
Weak. 31 under.
Lance, you were at a course this weekend.
Yeah, I was at Agnes Moffitt. Although I will say it's gotten easier since some of the trees had to be cut down due to derecho. Mm-hmm. I will say that, yeah.
You want to tell people what Agnes Moffitt is?
It's a disc golf course, but it's... the grass was really high.
No, he sent
it. No, I sent it on. I tagged you on it. I said, did you shoot even on any golf course in your so-called golf courses this weekend, John?
Well.
I sent you my scorecard.
All we found out from John is he choked down the stretch.
Choked at the biggest time. Gagged.
Elimination John.
Elimination Johnny.
No, it was more Mark Andrews. It was more Mark Andrews. It was, anyway, I felt bad for my teammate. He did everything he could. He was Lamar Jackson, and I was Mark Andrews. in the playoffs, just in the playoff, yeah. But we got there all the way to the one step away from winning it. So, but
we get back, I gotta mention a picture. When we come back, the TNT crew, when a team is eliminated, they always do the kind of the 1-2-3 Cancun, and they're going. Eliminated, gone fishing. Yeah. We'll tell you about the Rockets version that they did. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. Whoever does their Photoshops is pretty good.
Did they put that out or did somebody put
that out? No, they have that. I'm sure they did it.
Okay. All right. 703-780-3776. If you want to get in here, you got thoughts on the Rockets or anything else. Thank you, Game Day Men's Health, for bringing us what did you learn this weekend in one sentence. Right now I'm talking about HRP. I'm talking about how important it is for you and your business like it is for us and our business. Instead of having a big payroll department, which is, oh, my God, we got salary, we got hourly, we got commission, it's too complicated. You got taxes, you're going to need a CPA, you got to do all of these things. Jumping rope and jumping through hoops to try to bring your people. No, let professionals who do that streamline your business to make it easier, to make it better, to make it less expensive. That's what HRMP does. We love what HRMP does for us. And if you're not completely satisfied because you might be with an admin company already, and you look and you go, wait a minute, that is a big bill every month. Maybe HRMP is going to be less because HRMP isn't charging, is not in the business of benefits packages. They're just in HR and payroll, and they do your tax. They're experts. Oh, by the way, they're experts in the tax game too. So you're looking for the best way to streamline and make it so much easier to get your people, your payroll, HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.